Good morning, Redemption. How y'all doing? Good? Y'all doing good this morning? Yeah? It's so great to see you. So great to be here. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to share with you this morning. And you know, it's such an honor to be invited by your pastors, Pastor Jeremy and Amy. It's just an honor that they invited me. So I feel very honored. I feel special. I feel privileged. And it's just so great to be able to come and speak this morning on this Memorial Day weekend. First of all, I don't need to tell you this, but don't you guys know you have amazing lead pastors? You guys know that? If you don't, you need to know that. Great, amazing leaders, man of God, woman of God, godly family, whom God has called to this church. If you're a first-time guest or if you're here for the first time, don't be disappointed that you're not hearing Pastor Jeremy this morning. Please come back, because I know he's an awesome preacher, all right? I'm just the filling guy. I'm just helping him out today. I'm the second string, okay? So he's a great preacher, a great leader. Scripture teaches that pastors are gifts to the church. And whenever God wants to do something great, he doesn't call a committee. He calls a man or a woman. He calls a person. And because of Pastor Jeremy and his wife's obedience, they came all the way from, was it Buffalo? Were you guys up in there? Anybody been to Buffalo? I went for the first time, you know, just recently. I lived in New York all my life. And God called them all the way from Buffalo to plant a church here in Westchester. And, you know, it's an amazing thing to see what God has done this past year. So please, before I even continue, can you do me a favor? Can you pray for them every day? Can you love on them as much as you can? Can you spoil them? This is how you can spoil pastors. We love coffee, all right, first of all. Spoil them with gift cards to Starbucks, nights out to dinner. Do what you can to help them in this journey, because it truly is a 24/7 job. And this is the statistics. I'll just tell you this. 1,500 ministers quit the ministry every single month. It's true. And most church plants don't even make it past their first year. Within 5 years, the majority of them close. I know, first of all, that Redemption's breaking those statistics already. Look at what God has done in a year. Look around you. It's amazing to see what God has done in a year. You're going to break those statistics, but it takes a lot of teamwork, a lot of love for your leaders, your pastors, their kids, their family. So please, he didn't ask me to do this. He's not paying me to do this. Could you please pray for them, love on them, spoil them rotten. Let them know that you're there to support them. And I know that would go a long way. I also want to just say what a wonderful job your volunteer team is doing. Week in, week out, just setting up church, and the place looks amazing. Doesn't look great when you walk in. It's just amazing. The coffee station, the kids station, the banners, the signs. And let me tell you something about this music team. I don't know what you call it here, worship team, music team, band. They sound amazing, don't they? For a portable church, a church that sets up. Your musicians are great. Trust me, I've been around. I've been around, and I know when there's bad music. There's no bad music here, okay? Great music led by your lead pastor's wife. You guys are blessed 1 year into it. Look at what God is doing. Look at the environment, the experience that you guys get to walk in and day out. You know what's also amazing? The words. You guys put the words when they were supposed to go up. You know what I mean? Like in my church, there's still a chorus behind. You know what I mean? You guys were right on. Good job, production team. Yes, give it up for your production team, those behind the scenes. And lastly, give it up for yourselves for being here. Can you give it up for yourselves for being here? Every person that's come here, every first-time gift, every person that's walked through these doors, you are what makes this church amazing and wonderful. You see, church, I tell this to my church, you know, church is not a place you go to. It's a family you belong to. So you could have church anywhere, literally. And I love church in the movie theater. I love having church here. Let me tell you a little bit about me. I've been pastoring since, oh my goodness, I've been a lead pastor for 18 years. Crazy, right? I was very young. Thank you, Jeremy. Very, very young when I started. And we planted a church in Boston, Massachusetts. I'm originally born in the Bronx, raised in the Bronx, moved to Middletown, Orange County when I was a teenager. Then I went to Bible college in what a school called Zion, which is now called North Point Bible College. And I stayed in New England for many, many years. I pastored, I planted a church called International Worship Center. And then after several years, I planted that church, handed it over to my brother. I moved to Western Massachusetts called the Berkshires. Anybody hear the Berkshires? It's a beautiful place, right? I pastored out there for several years. And after my journey there in the Berkshires, I had this unsettling in my heart. I felt like, you know, God was taking our ministry in a different direction. And to make a long story short, I ended up coming back to New York, my home state. And in 2009, we took over a struggling church that had been there since the 40s. And with God's grace, we've grown. We have three worship experiences. And what's more amazing than that is we launched our very first location in the Bronx a year ago. So it's pretty remarkable what God has done. So this is what's really cool about what I have experienced. I currently pastor an established church, and I also pastor a church plant. So I have the best of both worlds. Throughout the week, I am stressed with the church plant and stressed with the established church. It doesn't matter what, you know, what you do. I feel the stress of planting a new church in a new community. We're just a few blocks away from Yankee Stadium. And I ask for your prayers for our Bronx location. We believe that, you know, there's 1.5 million people, and there are 1.5 million reasons why we need to be in the Bronx. So please pray for us as we establish a church in the Bronx. And these past several years have been amazing. We've baptized over 300. I love baptisms. I love that you're doing baptisms. If you have yet to, we call it take the plunge. If you have yet to take the plunge, take the plunge. That's your first step in following Jesus. We've baptized, listen to this, over 325 people in the past few years. Isn't that amazing to see so many people come to new life and experience new life in Jesus Christ? So if you have yet to do that, let me just add to what you said already. Get baptized. It's an amazing, amazing experience. I want to thank my beautiful bride going on 19 years in June, Ruth. Honey, you're going to have to stand and wave. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me. Please stand. I know I'm dead meat later, but right now I want to honor you. So great to see you. My son, who's 15, he's only in ninth grade. He's really tall. But and then my other little boy, he's 9 going on 10 or 18, depending on who you, you know, 9 going on 18. He thinks he's 18. But he's in kids' church. And you know what? I would not be the person I am today without amazing wife and family that support me in what I do as a pastor. I came just to encourage you today. I came just to encourage your heart and encourage your spirit and encourage you in what you're doing here at Redemption Church. You know, whenever someone has a baby, you don't ever look at the baby and say, oh, you're still a baby. You need to grow up quicker. You need to get older faster. No one ever says that about babies, correct? When it comes to babies, what do most people do? They enjoy the season that they're in with their baby. When I look back at my kids, they grew up fast. They say that to you, but until you experience it, it's true. And the years that I cherish most are the years and times when I brought those boys home and little infants. And of course, there's those negative experiences of they don't sleep and they throw up and they do their thing everywhere. But other than that, you cherish your children when they're infants and when they're growing. You know, when it comes to what God is doing here as a church plant, you're a baby church. Let me encourage you. Don't be quick to think about the future, or don't be quick to want to be an older established church. Let me encourage you to enjoy the season that you're in right now, because this is a beautiful thing. Do you realize that? This is a beautiful thing. If you're a first-time guest, or if you're fairly new to this church, you're part of something really amazing. It's easy to walk into anything, an organization, a company that's already established, that's already, you know, doing great things. But for me, I like to be part of the process. I like to look back and see the progress, see the growth. So if you're here today, let me just encourage you. You're part of something really special and amazing and beautiful. When you look back at these years, you're going to look at these years of having a baby church. And you're going to remember meeting in the theater. You're going to remember setting up every week. You remember all the glitches. You're going to remember all of the things that you did. You remember how you decorated and how you made this environment beautiful. And when you look back, you're going to look at those days as being wonderful and special. Let me encourage you. Love what God is doing here. Pray for what God is doing here. Nurture what God is doing here. Care for what God is doing here. As you do a baby, I see a guy holding a baby. As you're holding that baby, you know, just nurture this church. Love on this church. Pray for this church because it's a beautiful thing. This is beautiful, what God is doing here. Not only should we, care and love and pray for, the reason why we should do this is because there's incredible potential in this church. There's incredible potential. A new church plant, what it is as if God is planting a seed in the ground. When God decides to plant a church, it's as if he's taking the seed and he's looking for soil and he plants that seed in the ground. Now, when you look at a seed, there doesn't seem to be much of any kind of, there doesn't seem to be any potential when you look at the seed. For example, when you see a mustard seed, it's so tiny. No one would ever, if you didn't know what a mustard seed would become, you would think that there's nothing significant about the mustard seed. But when you look at, when God looks at a seed, what he sees is the potential that that seed will produce. And what I want you to do this morning is look at, first of all, this location. Not with physical eyes. I want you to look at this church with spiritual eyes. I want you to see beyond what you see. Because the seed that is planted here is far greater than what you see right now. Do you follow me on that? The seed that has been planted here, this church, the potential it has is far greater than what you see with your eyes. You see, not only does God plant this church like a seed, he plants seeds in each and every one of you. Do you know that there's seeds of greatness within you? Seeds that have yet to be nurtured, seeds that have yet to be activated. There is incredible potential within every single follower of Jesus. God has put seeds within us. We have to acknowledge that where we are today is not where we are going to be a few years from now. That God has more in store. That the best is yet to come. And the best years for this church is still far ahead from us. We have to recognize that this church is not just a building or a gathering or a place. It's like a seed that God has planted. And when God was looking to plant this seed, he chose, is this Westchester County, right? Westchester County, because I got off at Port Chester, right? Yeah, I'm in Westchester. God decided to plant it right here in this location. Now you walk in, you may see with your eyes, wow, this is great. But the seed is far greater than what you see. The seed is far greater than what you see. You see, God deliberately uses this illustration of a seed in Scripture to teach us that within every believer is the potential to grow and to develop and to become. There are seeds of untapped potential within us. There are seeds of untapped potential within every single one of you. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. I put the verses on the screen for you to follow along. Jesus gives us a parable here, and he's teaching this principle of seeds. He's teaching the principle of a seed. And this is what he said. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when it's planted, it grows and becomes the largest of garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. You ever see a mustard seed? Why don't you put that up for me? Look at that mustard seed. Less than 2 millimeters in diameter. If I were to show you this without telling you what it could become, you would never know what that little seed would become, unless you're a horticulturist, and then you can know. You can cheat. But that little mustard seed is small, less than 2 millimeters in diameter, and it comes in three varieties, yellow, black, and white. It seems so simple, yet it is so amazingly complex. Within that single seed that you see on that screen, there is a remarkable nutritional profile, which includes vitamins A, vitamins B6, vitamins B12, C, E, and K. It also is a source of calcium, iron, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, sodium, and zinc, to name a few. Amazing. It has anti-inflammatory and anti-cancer properties as well. When that little seed is planted, it has amazing potential. When it's planted and it grows, it becomes a mustard tree. First it becomes a plant and then a tree. Little mustard seed becomes that. Amazing, correct? Amazing. That little thing became that. But what's even more amazing is the little seed becomes a tree and then it becomes this. Can you imagine Memorial Day without mustard? Come on now. What would we do? A hot dog without spicy brown mustard? Are you kidding me? We need a mustard seed, don't we? We need the mustard seed. But would you ever imagine that the little mustard seed would turn into mustard? Would you imagine that that little seed has all of the nutritional value? No. It has within it untapped potential. Now, a seed by itself will not sprout. In order for the seed to activate its potential, it needs three things. First of all, it needs to be placed in the proper location. You can't plant a seed in rocks because it won't grow. It has to be planted in soil that is fertile. The location where you plant the seed is important. When seeds are planted in good soil, it can produce a crop of 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. What was sown? Where a seed is planted, it is critical. Now, I want you to listen to me on this. God has planted this church in a place where the ground is good, where the ground is fertile. You see, for years, church planters would not come to the Northeast. For years, the Northeast, New York, Westchester was known as a preacher's graveyard. It's true. There weren't a lot of thriving churches. There weren't a lot of large churches or growing churches or church plants. But things have changed. The environment is changing. There's a spiritual hunger. There's this desire among people in the Northeast, a spiritual hunger that's beginning to rise up. And God wants new churches to be planted. Why? Because new churches are one of the main ways that people come to know Christ, most effective ways. So when he chose Redemption Church, He chose to plant this church right here because the ground is fertile, because the ground is good. Now, over time, you will see. Look at what's happened in a year. Growth has occurred. But if you're patient and persevere, you will see that the seed that was planted here a year ago will continue to produce a harvest. Now, not only is the location of this church important, your location is important. What do I mean by that? God has planted seeds within you. So where you are planted is very important. Where you're planted. The church you choose to make your church is very important, because there are churches that are not life-giving churches. There are churches that the ground and the soil is not good. I'm here to tell you that this church is a great church, and this church is a great place to be planted in. It's so important to be planted in the right church, the right life-giving church. It is the soil of the church where seeds of greatness begin to sprout in your life. The seeds that are within you begin to sprout here. That's why it's so important to be at a church that's life-giving and life-changing. Now, the mistake many people make is that they plant themselves in this church over here, and they don't like what happened on a particular Sunday. Maybe the music was too loud. Maybe the lights were too bright. Maybe someone didn't greet them the way they thought they should have been greeted. So what they do is they uproot themselves and they plant themselves somewhere else. Do you know when you repot a plant, it traumatizes the roots? It can kill a plant. But if you do it correctly, the plant will continue to live. But can you imagine if you uproot that same tree or that plant three times? Eventually the tree is going to die. Because the plant was not meant to be uprooted and replanted and uprooted and replanted. You see, you're going to grow. The seeds of greatness within you are going to grow where you are planted. And I'm here to encourage you to remain planted at Redemption Community Church. Because this is a great church, and the soil is great, and the soil is good, and the soil is life-giving. The word that is preached in this church is life-giving, life-changing, full of faith, anointed by the Holy Spirit. When the word of God goes forth in faith, the seed of greatness that is within you is activated and begins to sprout within your heart and within your life. The worst thing that anyone could do is to leave a church, a place where you have been planted because of an offense, because of something you didn't like, or because of any reason. Let me encourage you to remain planted. Look at what Psalm 92, 13, I don't have the verse, I just added it. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of God. You've got to be planted. You've got to remain planted. You've got to remain. You've got to continue. Do not uproot yourself where God has planted you. Do not remove yourself where God has planted you. Remain planted. The second thing a plant needs, a seed needs, is warmth, correct? Warmth and sunlight. A seed needs warmth. A seed needs sunlight. It is critical to its growth. For example, seeds don't generally grow in the winter where it's cold and where there is no sunlight. They need a warm environment. Now, warmth and light is symbolic of a couple things. First of all, warmth is symbolic of God's presence. God's presence. You know, we all need to be filled with God's presence. First of all, coming to church. When you come to church and when the worship team starts rocking out on a Sunday morning and you have this awesome time of slow singing. And don't you feel something within your heart when you walk into this environment? How many felt that when they walked in, they felt something in their heart? There was something in the environment that was different than walking into like the mall or TGI Fridays. You know what I mean? Something different. That is called the presence of God. The Bible says where two or three gather in his name, he is there. And when you walk into a place where God's presence is, let me tell you, the seeds that are planted within you, that God has placed within you, begin to become activated. They come alive. The seed of God's presence. Paul tells Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God that is within him. We need to fan the flame, the seed, the potential, the gifts, the talents, the abilities that God has placed in each and every one of us. It comes when we are in the presence of God. So the warmth and the sunlight are symbolic of the presence of God, but also symbolic of love. An environment of love is absolutely necessary for this church plant to grow. Two things this church plant needs. It needs God's presence, and it needs love. Two things the seeds need that are within you. God's presence and love from other people. Love. If you want to see this church plant grow, then those are the only two things you need. God's presence and love. Be full of God's presence and be full of God's love. Because it is love that changes the world. It is God's presence that changes the world. So often we think we need more equipment. I know my AVL team, every week it's like a request for more lights, more sound. I don't know how many more mics we have to get. I'm like, guys, come on. How many more mics do I have to buy? How many more of this? I need more equipment. That's all I hear. I go, no, we don't. We need more of God's presence. We need more of God's love. Now, equipment's important. But at the end of the day, equipment doesn't change the world. What's going to change your heart and what's going to change the people in this community is a church full of God's presence and a church full of God's love. The cold will kill it. Don't ever grow cold in your love for God. Don't ever allow this place to become cold. You ever walk into a cold room? I don't mean physically. I mean, you ever walk into a place and feel cold? People aren't warm. You ever walk into a church that felt cold? Oh, it was the worst feeling in the world. My wife and I, when we go on vacation, we visit churches all over the country, East Coast. Let me tell you, a lot of those churches are very cold. Very cold. They're not warm. Let me encourage you. It's warmth that's going to activate the seed that's here, that God has planted here. The warmth of God's love and the warmth of God's spirit. And the third element is water. You have location, you have warmth. You need water, don't you? Seed's not going to grow if it doesn't get any water. For in order for seeds to sprout and grow, it must be watered. Without water, the seed will die and stop growing. Likewise, without taking the time to water your church. You see, what do I mean by that, Pastor? What do you mean by watering my church? I mean watering your church through service. This location will die and not thrive. Why? It is so critical to pour out your life to others. Paul said it best in 2 Timothy. He says that he was being poured out like a drink offering. His life was being poured out. You see, the only reason why we're filled is so that we can fill others. The only reason why we are changed is so that we can help others. When God fills us with love, it's so that we can love others. It's not about us. It's about others. I tell our church this all the time. We don't go to church. We are the church. We exist for the world. We don't come here to get fed. We come here to feed. We come here to pour. We come here to serve. We come here to love. We're here to contribute. We're not consumers. We are contributors. And we're called to water. We're called to water. I heard it once said, if the grass looks greener on the other side, well, then water your own lawn. Yeah? Maybe the reason why the grass is green is because the guy mows his or waters his lawn. And you don't. We got to water this garden, yes? We got to water the seeds here. How do you do that? Through service. By pouring into others. You know, who's our example? Pastor Jeremy? No. It's Jesus. Jesus attended a dinner party, and all of the disciples that were there were too busy. It was a ceremonial thing that as you walked in, there was a foot washer there that would wash their feet because they wore sandals, the roads are dusty, and they would eat on the floor. They would lounge on the ground. So at this particular home, there was no foot washer. So no one decided to, step up. So what did Jesus do? He stepped up. He grabbed a towel and what? A basin of water. And he poured water on his disciples' feet. Imagine that. The creator of the heavens and the earth. The King of kings. The Lord of lords. The one who always was and is and will be. He picked up a towel and a basin and poured water on those nasty feet. Those feet were nasty back then. Trust me, they were nasty, crusty, ugly looking feet. What did Jesus do? He poured water and he washed their feet. Now, if Jesus could do it, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we wash someone else's feet? Shouldn't we be about, well, not literally. I'm not doing that literally, all right? I'm just saying metaphorically. Shouldn't we be about serving, pouring into others? You see, the way that the seed is activated is through water. And we've got to pour water. And that is the hardest part of gardening. You see, there's a sense of accomplishment that comes with planting. Ruth and I, we have a garden at the house, nothing spectacular, but there's a sense of accomplishment. We finally planted the plants at the garden, the vegetables. But then it's the watering that takes patience. Every day I go out there, or really she goes out there, I have to admit, and she waters the garden. There aren't any vegetables for a few months. You gotta wait. You gotta be persistent. And just because you don't see vegetables doesn't mean you stop watering, correct? You continue to water believing that at the proper time, at the proper season, the vegetables are gonna come forward, yes? As you serve in this church, let me encourage you to keep watering, keep serving, keep persevering day in and day out, or I should say week in and week out. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes perseverance. But if you keep watering at the appointed time, Scripture teaches us that you will reap a harvest. Look at what Galatians 6:9 tells us. Let us not become weary in doing good. You can become weary sometimes when you're watering, yes, when you're serving. Church planting can become tiresome at times. Having to load the trailer, or what time do you guys have to be here? Seven a.m. I was awake, but I was making breakfast at 7 a.m. 7 a.m., week in and week out, and now it's nice weather, but what happens when it snows? When it's brick outside, you know what I mean? Like 7 a.m., I'm not going out there to go no trailer, no truck. It's freezing out there. But you know what happens over time? As you serve, as you pour, persevere. Do not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if We don't give up. You will have challenges. You will have setbacks. You will have disappointments. But let me encourage you, persevere. Don't give up. Keep serving. Keep doing what God has called you to do. Keep watering the seed that God has placed in you. Keep getting into God's presence. Keep remain planted in the church he has planted you in. You may not know the future, but God does. At the proper time, he will open the door for you. He will give you the job he's created you to work at. He will give you the spouse he wants you to marry. He will lead you in the direction he has for you. But you just got to persevere. You can't give up. You got to keep believing and trusting and stay in faith and keep watering the seeds that God has placed in you and watering the seeds that God has placed in this church. Yes? As I wrap this up, we're so tempted at times to give up before the harvest. We're tempted to give up before we see all the results. We have to keep, yeah, you guys can come. We have to keep watering, keep believing, keep praying, keep serving, keep doing what God wants you to do. If you're going to reach your full potential, you've got to allow the seed to take root in your heart. You got to persevere. Perseverance is key. Persevere through the challenges. Persevere through the pain. Persevere through the trial. Persevere through the setbacks. Keep watering. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Stay in faith. God has planted seeds in you. Incredible seeds. Things, potential within all of you that you would never have imagined that God will do with your life. I never would have imagined that I would do what I am doing today. Never. It's when I kept believing and persevering and trusting and praying, watering the seed, getting into a good Bible-based church, hearing the word of God, allowing the seeds of God's word to take root in my heart, then acting on what I heard, watering the seed, giving the seed sunlight, fanning the flame, allowing the seed to take root. It's over time that that happens. And let me encourage you, RCC. Don't go by what you see. Because what you see is not, it's far greater. I should say this. Don't go by what you see right now. Because what God sees is far greater than what you see. One of the most intriguing seeds for me is a watermelon seed. Memorial Day weekend is all about watermelons, yeah? And who would ever have thought that a little black seed can produce those beautiful green melons with those green artistic, what do you call it, skins. And then the white membrane, and then within it is the juicy red watermelon inside. Now, all of us could probably count how many seeds are in a watermelon, yes? But God is the only one that knows how many watermelons are in the seed. God is the one that knows how much fruit is going to be produced in the seed that he's placed in you. Let me encourage you, persevere. Don't give up. Believe in what God is doing in your life. Believe in what God has already put within you and put within this church. And I close with this. I said that already, right? I close with this. God is going to blow your socks off God is going to do things in this place that are just going to blow you away, because that's what God does. He is going to produce through this seed a harvest if you don't give up. Let me pray for you. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you. What an honor, what a privilege to be here today. Lord, I feel like I am surrounded by greatness. I feel, Lord God, that this church is on the verge of greatness. Lord, I pray for Pastor Jeremy and his wife, Amy. Lord, let your hand of blessing and encouragement be upon them, Lord God. Thank you, God, for calling them to Westchester, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing them to this place. And because of their obedience, fruit is being produced all around us. Lord, thank you for the team of volunteers that serve every week. Give them strength. Encourage them. Let them see beyond what they see. That the seed is far greater than what they see, Lord God. Give them eyes of faith. Lord, I pray for this congregation. Let them rally together around this great team of leaders, that they would serve tirelessly, that they would serve and water and love others, so that the seeds within us, within each and every one of each and every person that walks through these doors, God, that those seeds would be activated and come to life. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this place. We love you. In Jesus' name. And everyone together, why don't you say amen with me? And amen.